Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It's a simple child's prayer, but one that can be quite scary, even for children. My mother would pray that prayer with me by my bedside when I was 5 years old. And I asked her, can we not say that part about if I die before I wake? And she said, why? I said, because I don't want to die. And she took that moment to talk to me about how important it was to pray that prayer and being ready to die. She graciously didn't make me say that part, but she took it as a teaching opportunity. Boys and girls, have you ever thought about dying? You can play in the sand, you can swim in the pool, you play with your brothers and sisters. There's all kinds of fun candies and treats. There's lessons to learn. There's a great future to look forward to, hopefully in the service of the Lord and His kingdom for you, perhaps. But you could die, too. Perhaps those who are older ones in our midst, who have seen friends and loved ones die, as time has gone on and you feel your own weaknesses and the changes in your own body, death becomes quite real to you. Some of us are not strangers to situations people find themselves in where they wish they could pass and be with the Lord. Death becomes such a tremendous reality due to the pain of body and the pain of heart. Death is real, and it is scary, if we're honest, for people of any age. That's why so beautifully and so simply our Lord Jesus teaches on what happens after death and the resurrection of the dead. That is our title this evening, Believing the Resurrection of the Dead. Considering a few verses from John chapter 5 in connection with other portions of the scriptures, we hope to see what it is to believe that there is resurrection of the dead, that there is life after death, the content of that belief. And then further, with the Lord's blessing, secondly, the comfort of believing that, that there is a resurrection of the dead. Well, firstly, it's content. And quite simply, the resurrection of the dead is an indisputable fact because Jesus says so. In John chapter 5, verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. There is a resurrection of the dead. There is indeed, as the Lord Jesus weaves the themes together, connecting the work of the Father and the work of the Son, a quickening to new life as a sinner goes from being dead to being alive in this life. There is a spiritual life and a spiritual resurrection. So our Lord Jesus guarantees there will be a bodily resurrection. A bodily resurrection. But to believe in the resurrection of the dead means, firstly, that we will die. The wages of sin is death. That is the fruit of our disobedience and curse in the garden. We will die. But that is not the end. Death is not the end. Maybe you've read that in books. Maybe you've seen that on commercials. Maybe you've had your friends tell you that. That death is the end. And that is not true. That is not true. For a child of God, death is simply a passing into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ without their body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us, we are confident, no doubting, no disputing, without question, clear revelation from the Lord through the Apostle Paul, without error. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be at home with Jesus, which is a striking way to put it. Rather to be caught up, to use the language of Scripture, in this earthly tent or tabernacle, as the body is referred to at times, to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus at death and to be more at home in His presence, tabernacling with Him in heaven, even without our bodies. That is what happens to a child of God when they die. And for those of you who are growing older, for those of you who are considering death, whether it be to old age, whether it be to a work of the Lord in your life recently, some tragedy, or maybe even some blessing, do you believe that? Do you believe that? When that childhood prayer would be brought once again to your mind and your heart, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take for you. Is that a comfort? To know that when you would perhaps pass in sleep, you would awake to be in His presence. And you indeed may think it will be hard to leave the things of this world behind. But when you are, as it were, out of home in your own body, and long to be at home with Him, though you be out of your body, that is when there is peace. A peace the Lord gives. That is not a peace we find ourselves. That is not a way you delude yourself. When one honestly considers their sin and the consequences of their sin, and the fact there is a God in heaven, what is revealed, Romans chapter 1 tells us, is not peace. It is wrath. And when there is anger and a sense of it from God, there is not an acquiescence. There is a flight. As Romans 1 continues to show how we invent false idols and false religions and lies to believe, rather than come face to face with the wrath of God, which death would indeed necessitate. No, peace, peace, that even if the Lord my soul would take, peace, because if He does take it, we are in the presence of Him. But further, that death is not only a reality, and the believer's soul goes to be with the Lord, but that there indeed is also a resurrection of the body. That after death, the body will be raised, and the soul that has gone to be with the Lord will be reunited with that body. As John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 puts it, marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at this. Don't be surprised at this, he says. For the hour is coming in which all that are in their graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Imagine that if all of a sudden in all the cemeteries in town the dead would rise, renewed, transformed. Marvel not at this. Jesus said, this is not the amazing stuff. There is a time, congregation, that will happen. And it could very well be a time that is soon. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Notice again, just like it is the power of the Word that created all things, that it is the power of the Word that brings new life, blessed and owned, to the heart of a sinner by the power of the Spirit. So it is the power of the Word that brings new life again into a dead corpse. in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And you remember, boys and girls, how true this was of Lazarus. And the Lord Jesus spoke with a mighty voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. Not the power of death or the grave clothes could stop him. He came forward physically alive. But he continues, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Just as surely as Lazarus had to, compelled by the power of the word of Christ, so will all those who have died. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What a thing to come forward from the grave unto the resurrection of life with a renewed, transformed body. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it will be like his glorious body, a transformed body, a different body, in a way greater and grander, but in a way similar to the way a seed goes into the ground and dies and springs forth a beautiful plant. Our bodies, risen from the grave by the power of Christ, physically quickened and made new. And those souls that had been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ are now reunited with their bodies at home in their tabernacles again. At home with him and now with their bodies again to live blessedly forever. If you seriously give thought to death and the fears of death, there is there then a double comfort. To be in the presence of God and to know, though perhaps your body has been ravaged by time and age and disease and brokenness due to physical hard labor, that your body will be made new, resurrected, greater, stronger, better than when you were in your prime of life and health. What a blessing that is. That just as you have had fellowship with the Lord by his grace in this life, as you have been in his presence from your own body, but gloriously in his presence at home with him, and then once again embodied to enjoy him spiritually and physically forever, delighting in his service in paradise. The double comfort in this content of the resurrection of the dead. But if you fear not death, or even if you do fear death, but you see your fear of death as no reason to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is also a double warning and a double threat that when you die, you will be translated, as it were, out of this body into the presence of God. And if you are not washed in the blood of the Lamb, if there is no atonement for sin to you, do not think that will be a blessed, happy experience. In the book of Revelation, those who are still embodied, when the Lord Jesus were to return, cry out because of the wrath of the Lamb that the mountains would fall on top of them. And as the book of Hebrews warns us, our God is a consuming fire. Do you think when your soul translates into his presence, if you have not repented and confessed, if you have not submitted to him, if you, after a lifetime of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, will pass into his presence in a peaceful way, you are mistaken. And you will begin your eternal punishment at that moment. You will begin your eternal punishment at that moment, not in your body, just your soul. But that is not the end. Because there is a resurrection unto damnation as well, our Lord Jesus teaches us. And that is why you will be raised. Your cursed soul will be reunited to your accursed body. and you will have a transformed body greater and better than your body ever was before on earth, so you can suffer eternally in hell to glorify his justice. Just as there is such comfort in the love of God, who provides a marvelous deliverance and salvation in Christ, so we need not fear death. So it need not be a terror to pray, if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That it be a comfort our souls go to be with he who loves us most and best. And that when our bodies are raised again to life, we will enjoy him in ways we could not fathom before for eternity in service in paradise. There is that damnation, a resurrection to damnation, body and soul, that will be just as much a terror. Now, older ones in our midst, as you may count yourself closer to death, please take that to heart. As our Lord Jesus Christ himself says, marvel not at this. This is true. This is real. Do not push this off. And for those of you who may even be children, boys and girls, we can die too. We can die too. You must be ready to die. You must be at peace with the Lord. If you were to die tonight, you must be with him in his love and his care for Jesus' sake, and not in his wrath because you have rejected God. You must look forward to being in his presence even without your body, looking to the comfort of the fact you will once again be in it and in his presence. Regardless of our age, that is what we must have. Congregations, seek the double comfort, the double benefit. Heed, as it were, a double warning with a double curse. That is, as it were, the simple content of believing in the resurrection of the dead, the reality of death, and what it means to be in the presence of God, and the reality of bodily resurrection. But there is even more comfort here in this glorious teaching of our Lord Jesus. As we considered the content of believing in the resurrection of the dead, we noted some comfort by way of application, paralleling the great danger and curse that comes with it. But secondly, we hope to focus more particularly on three particular comforts. Just three. Many more would present themselves. But three particular comforts that must be true and are true if we, by the grace of God, believe in the resurrection of the dead. First of these comforts is death has no victory. Death has no victory. If there is resurrection of the dead, and indeed there is, our Lord Jesus says so, death does not win. Death does not win. He does not win. Our scriptures have told us very clearly from the words of our Lord Jesus that God the Father has given the authority of life to the Son. And just as there is spiritual quickening, there is physical quickening and resurrection from the dead. It is a fact. Death lost. Because there is resurrection from the dead, death has no victory. It's a defeated foe. That's why it's so beautiful the way the Apostle Paul expresses it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Our current bodies must be renewed and raised new. And this mortal must put on immortality, so that this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One who has died is ushered into the presence of the Lord if they trust in him and they know him through repentance and faith, and they are assured of their bodily resurrection because the law has no power against them. The strength of sin is the law. Sin cannot condemn you because the law does not hold you accountable, because it has held Christ accountable. He was held accountable for your sins. That is why he has died. And in so doing, Christ's death overcame death. As the great Puritan John Owen put it, the death of death and the death of Christ. Death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death and the grave have no victory. They're losers. Christ is the winner. We need not fear death. It is a defeated foe. Simply a passageway for us to be in the presence of our God and for a child of God to live and serve him in time when, by the power of the voice of our Savior, the dead rise and their spirits are reunited to their bodies. A defeated foe that is a loser because Christ has been victorious. We need not fear death. Death has no victory. Christ has the victory. That should be a tremendous comfort. Secondly, God's plan is perfect. His plan is absolutely perfect. There is no accidents. God had a plan for sin to come into this world using our free rebellion to reveal the glories and grace of God, his love and his mercy, in the sending of his Son. There was a first Adam because there would be a last Adam, as Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 15. Salvation was not plan B because Adam and Eve and you and I with them messed up plan A. Death and the failure of death. Sin and the victory of Christ, the fall of the last Adam, and the mighty victory of the last Adam. Rather, the fall of the first Adam and the victory of the last Adam are all according to God's plan. My death, your death, all of our deaths, just like all of our lives, have been part of God's great plan, the work of his blessed Son. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 tells us of this blessed plan, all in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The incarnate Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, risen from the dead. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Son, come in the flesh, died and risen, still empowered by that great Spirit that he received at his baptism, has all authority and power given unto him, as Paul would use the language in 1 Corinthians 15. And as it were, all of history, certainly past and here, particularly in the book of Revelation, present and unfolding from the time it was written, is all in the hands of Christ. In short, all of history about Christ, all of history in control of Christ, life and death, everything, all part of God's perfect plan. Take comfort. If the Lord were to call you to even die tonight, death has no victory over you. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome death, and your death, even though perhaps it is fearful to you, though it need not be, your death, though it will be a grief for those you leave behind, is not some reckless accident. It is not something unplanned. It is something secure and held in the hand of Christ as part of the Father's great design. Death has no victory. Death, and indeed the resurrection from the dead, is all part of God's perfect plan. And lastly, that means we are never apart from the Savior. We are never apart from the Savior. That was implied in the content of the resurrection from the dead, that there is death, and that at death we go to be with Christ, and that after death, in His time, the dead will rise and our souls will be restored to our bodies. But gloriously, that means, in light of the fact death has no victory and God's plan is perfect, we are never apart from Jesus. Never apart from Him. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, "Verily, truly, absolutely, undoubtedly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He was already with Christ on earth, physically. But more than physically, he had already begun to be with Christ on earth spiritually. In a time and in a moment not recorded in the Gospels, this criminal, this malefactor, condemned to die, confesses his own worthiness and his just punishment, that he would indeed deserve to die, puts his trust in this man who he knows is innocent, dying next to him, and trusts him, though he is dying too, just as he will, that he will come into his kingdom and rule. And he says, when you come into your kingdom, when you receive that authority from your Father, remember me. And he says, today, just as you, by my grace, have put your faith and trust in me, and just as you are in my physical presence now, just as you are partaking of, as it were, my saving intercession now, so you will be with me once you die in heaven, apart from your body. But even that thief on the cross, boys and girls, his body is long since dust. You could grab the finest dust on the ground and throw it in the air, and that's what his body would be. But at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that body will reconstitute itself into flesh, just as sure as God in the beginning breathed life into that dust that was our first father. And even the soul of the thief on the cross will be united to his body, never, ever having left, as it were, the presence of his Savior. Now that should be the greatest comfort of all to a child of God. Always with Jesus. Always with Jesus. His love, his care, his protection, his strength, theirs. Never alone. Boys and girls, it's not as scary to walk through the dark if you're holding mom and dad's hand, is it? Still scary, but not as scary, maybe. You might be in your room at night, scared, and you want mom or dad to be there. Maybe you even say, Mom and Dad, you sleep with me tonight. I'm scared. You sleep with me. You be with me. Scary to be apart from the ones we love. Scary to be apart from the ones who protect us. Never apart from Christ. Not in this life, not in the one to come, and not at the resurrection. The greatest comfort of a child of God. Do you take comfort in that thought? Do you take comfort in that thought? Does that strengthen you? Does that encourage you? Does that warm your heart? Plain and simple truth of being with Jesus now and in death and beyond. You think an unbeliever takes comfort in that? You think someone who has not repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ takes comfort in that? You think someone who doesn't find hope in a Savior takes comfort in that? That makes no sense, congregation. Unbelievers who have hearts that are hard and are afraid of their sins being exposed run from God. They reject Christ. They don't want Him. They don't want death, but they don't want Him. They find no comfort in being with Him. They find comfort in the fact He might not be real. They find comfort in the fact He might not be coming. They find comfort in the fact that somehow or another they won't die. They find comfort in the fact that somehow they won't go to hell. But they never take any drop of comfort in Christ. They never do. They never will. They can't. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. They will run from Him, not embrace Him to find their comfort. Only a born-again, repentant child of God takes comfort in being with Christ. There's no way to make sense of that otherwise. You can take comfort in something else you associate with Christ, but not in Christ Himself. Not in the simple truth and blessedness of being in His presence and with Him. So much greater than the comfort you can take from your mother or your father being with you in the dark, or knowing they're sleeping next to your bed, knowing that the eternal Son of God, who has kept the law for you and suffered hell for you, is keeping and maintaining you, is loving and cherishing you, even if you can barely think those thoughts and try to comprehend them yourself. But nonetheless, they echo back in your heart as true, as what you want. And even as what, as it were, to use the spiritual language, you may taste, as the psalmist says, that the Lord is good. These are the greatest comforts there are. Never being apart from a Savior, knowing that indeed God's plan is perfect and death has no victory. This is true comfort. This is real comfort. We need not fear death. When you have heard that prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. There need be no fear in that prayer. Only joy. Only hope, only comfort, because there is a resurrection from the dead. Put your faith, put your hope, put your life in the hands of your Savior, and death has no victory. The sure resurrection will not be one unto damnation, but one unto everlasting life, according to the promise of our Lord Jesus Himself. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the teachings of the Scriptures about the resurrection from the dead. And we pray, Lord, regardless of our age or situation in life, we would put our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ. O Lord, teach us to repent of our sins and to love the Lord Jesus for his great work and deliverance, that we can stand before thee washed in his blood, confident in his victory, knowing the grave has none. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.